But I can tell you, if you want more faith, the way to get it is to ask God for it. To ask Him for more of that precious gift, and to understand that that gift will come in tangible ways, to understand that our faith is not some make-believe mystical thing that's floating around out there in the air somewhere that either I got to make up or try to grab out of thin air. Our faith has substance and it has evidence. This faith is something that is very tangible and real. God is not asking us to just come up with some blind faith that's not based on anything except our own thoughts and our own imaginations to follow Him. Because if we were to do that, what we're really doing is following our own God of our own imagination. That's an insult to our God. And so I really want us to look at this today, because in these powerful three verses from the book of Hebrews, it's going to teach us about biblical faith. So let's stand for the reading of these three verses this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. This is an impactful chapter. It's an amazing composition of truth here that's going to help us. It's in fact, as we read through this chapter, it's actually at times going to surprise us. I can assure you that as we read through this chapter in the weeks to come, there's going to be some surprises to us. But it starts off with this issue of faith, because I can tell you, you can't even get started without that. Got to have that faith, and it's got to come from God, and it's got to be the faith that's being shown to us here. So let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Lord, bless the reading of your word this morning. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you would unpack this for us. I know there's so much more. I just want to read the whole chapter, because it's going to go on to show us examples of what godly biblical faith looks like when lived out. But Lord, I just want to look at these first three verses, and I'm sure I'm not going to be able to unpack everything that's there, but I pray that I will share what you shared with me earlier this week, so that we could just better understand what it means to have this substance and evidence. Because I think if our faith truly has substance, it truly has evidence that's tangible that we can hang on to, then our faith won't fail us in the day of adversity. Our faith will carry us. Our faith will last. Our faith then is also what we know of as saving faith. And then there will be perseverance of those who possess it. We will make it all the way to the finish line in heaven with you someday. But we don't have to wait till then to find out. We can see it happening right now in our own lives today. So, Lord, give us that faith. And we know you want to give it to us. You told us to ask for it. And so, Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a seat. Let's go ahead and unpack it. First of all, I want to point out that as we can see by the structure of this area of Scripture, it's not a blind faith. This isn't a blind faith that God's asking us to have. Some faith that, well, you heard it from Joe, and Joe heard it from Steve, and Steve heard it from Mary. And way back when, it kind of just was passed down, and so people just decided that because they had heard it from somebody, they probably should believe it, and so they're pretty sure that they're okay with God because their great-great-great-grandma belonged to the church down the street. That is a vain hope. It is a very bad way to be thinking of your salvation in Christ, because I can tell you, God doesn't have grandchildren. He's only got children, and those are people that have firsthand faith in Him. And it's one that comes from Him. And that faith is not called, you're not called to just have blind faith. I've heard people say, you know, they don't believe in God because they just can't handle that whole idea of having blind faith. But yet, they have faith in all these things that the world tells them. And I can just tell you, I don't have enough faith to believe the things that the world's trying to tell us. But God gives me the kind of faith that has substance and evidence so that I can truly believe Him. And as we look at this, you know, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. I can tell you, whenever you receive that saving faith and you begin to walk with God with that saving faith and by faith, then you begin to become part of a brotherhood that isn't just in this generation. It's the line of faith all the way back to Adam. And I can tell you, it's the same thing that they had all received to be able to truly follow God. You have that same thing whenever you are following in that faith as well. And so let's go ahead and break down just a little bit. Let's look at the word, the Greek word that's being used for substance there. I usually try to refrain from trying to read the transliterated representation of it. I think it's hypostasis. I'm sure somebody else could do a better job with that. If we look at the possible, you know, the ways that it's used and defined in different areas of the scripture, and the way that this word comes across, it helps us to understand a little bit more what God's trying to say. So through the writer of Hebrews, he's trying to show us that there's an underlying essence, a nature, a reality. Okay? That this faith is a reality. This is not just some mystical maybe. This is an absolute reality. It has more to it than that. You know, it's a confidence. Okay, so whenever we start to believe and understand that what the word is saying to us is that the substance will give us the confidence to follow Christ. A confidence that he really is who he says he is. Amen? A conviction. You see, this substance will convict us that we must follow according to that faith. An assurance. Many of your Bible translations will use that word, and it's not because it's a difference between translations. They just feel like it's a more clear way to show what that word hypostasis is really saying here. It's saying it should give us assurance. So what is this assurance of? That God is real. God, he is the one true God. He's the only true living God. Do you want that kind of assurance? Because if I got that kind of assurance, then no matter what comes against me, I can make it, I can stand, I can survive, because it's not just me, it's a God that's bigger than me. And so it gives me that conviction, that assurance. And listen to this last one. I love whenever I see the fullness of this word, steadfastness. What does that mean? It means you're not going to move. You're not going to fall. You're not going to back up. You're going to be steadfast. We need steadfastness. In a culture that's trying to knock us down with a spiritual enemy who comes after us at all costs with everything he can think of, and he has no mercy. We need steadfastness. And if you have this true saving faith through Christ, it is available to you. You can't say, I don't have enough of what I need to stand right now, because God tells us through Peter that we have all things that we need for life and godliness through Christ. And so as we go to that next thought, that word evidence, so substance and then evidence. I need some evidence, right? I've heard a lot of people say, man, I'd believe if I just had some evidence. This word literally means and says to us that if you will follow in that faith, if God gives you that faith and you begin to exercise that faith, that you will begin to have overwhelming evidence in your life through the word of God and the cooperation of the things that he's doing in your life and the way he's responding to your exercising of that faith, that you will have proof, you will have evident demonstration and conviction of what he's doing. That he is real, and that you're not just believing in some make-believe thing. And I know that everybody probably has a fleeting doubt every now and then, but let me tell you something. When you have that fleeting doubt, don't you dare hide from God. You go to God with it, because his faith that he gives you will be enough to put you back on that solid foundation to keep going with him. He will not fail us because we have that substance and we have that evidence. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that the further I go with God, the further I go with Christ, the evidence continues to mount. It continues to become more and more overwhelming to me. There is overwhelming evidence that I must continue on believing and exercising that faith in Christ. And I believe that the more you're in God's Word, the more that you're walking by faith, the more that you're serving God by the power of the Holy Spirit, the more that you're walking with Him, He too will increase your evidence. He too will increase that conviction to follow. And you notice both of those words have a connection to that word conviction. Man, we got to live by conviction, don't we? If we don't, we'll fall to every wind of doctrine. We'll end up being people pleasers. We'll end up just trying to please this culture. And I'm just going to ask you, what kind of things are you going to have to swallow today to please the culture? You're going to have to go along with lies. You're going to have to go along with all kinds of foolishness and immorality. And here's what I'm here to tell you right now. Live by the conviction of the faith that God gives you. And as we continue on in this thought, you know, all of these are to give us hope. How many of you need hope today? I need hope every day. Amen. Well, let's unpack this word hope, because it's a hope for, it's to expect and to trust in. You see, this isn't just some vain, mystical, imaginary hope out there. This hope means you're expecting it. And you're not just expecting it because of what you think or what you believe or how you are. You're expecting it because of the faith that God has planted in your heart, and you believe that He's true and He's never let us down and He's not ever been wrong. And so it most definitely is going to come to pass. That's the kind of hope He's talking about. And so as we look at that definition from the Greek NASB number, a dictionary that they have, they also have one from the New American Standard Exhaustive Concordance of Bible. That's the second one. It's to expect, to literally expect. I know it's similar to the idea of expect, but it means to expect, to hope for. It should be driving us forward at all times. And I'm telling you, your hope can be based in substance and evidence. Therefore, it won't fail in the day when we need it. How many of you ever been through hard times before? How many of you are afraid of going through hard times? I don't like them. But you know what? I've been through hard times, and I've seen my faith hasn't failed. And that my evidence is growing to where I'm not as fearful of the hard times that are ahead, because I know God won't let me down. In fact, here's the deal. If He's got my eternity, don't you think He can take care of my right now? My present time? Absolutely. And so, you know, ultimately what it's saying here, as we look at verses 1 and 2, that, you know, it says that we've got the faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can't just base it all on what we see with our eyes. How many of you guys have ever seen something and found out later on it wasn't exactly what you thought you saw? It happens. It happens all the time. That's why whenever they ask a whole lot of people about an accident or an incident that happens, they've got different perspectives, and they'll come up with some slightly different stories from eyewitnesses. It's because our eye, you know, I mean, it can fool us, and things aren't always exactly what we see. And things aren't exactly always what I hear either. I hear things, you know. Sometimes I thought I heard my wife say one thing, and then I find out later I was wrong. You guys are supposed to laugh now. That can get you into trouble, right? But here's the thing. What we need to understand is we can't base our whole life on what we see, hear, smell, touch, see, or you know, whatever the other senses are. You know, what we got to understand is there's more than that. And just because I can't physically see God right now does not mean He doesn't exist. Amen? I can see what He's done. And that's what kept the elders going forward. You know, verse 2, by it, the elders obtain a good testimony. I'm not really going to expound on that verse because the next few weeks are going to expound on that verse. The Bible's going to be its own commentary in the weeks to come about that. So let's jump to verse 3 there. For by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Okay, let's talk about that just a little bit. What does that mean? Framed by the word of God. If you look at creation, Genesis 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. It was framed by the word of God. And every aspect of creation after that, with the exception of man, we see that God spoke it all into creation. And then, whenever it came to man, there was a greater personal involvement. It says that he formed him up from the dust of the earth and he breathed life into his nostrils and he became a living human being. But in all these other things, we keep seeing God said, God said, God said. Do you know who Jesus is defined as in the book of John, chapter 1? The Word of God. He is the Word who became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Whenever those things were being spoken into creation, it was literally Jesus, I believe, without a doubt, was doing it. And if Jesus can speak things into creation from that which was not, he can speak into me a faith that can save me. He can give me something that I then respond to that can actually last forever. Isn't that an amazing thought? The same God that created is the same God who's creating a new thing in me. A born-again John Jones that has a new name waiting for me in heaven that I'm not sure about, but I know whatever God does is good. And I'm looking forward to finding out the rest of this, but I can say, just like Jesus said in that day, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, when he said that into my heart, it spawned the light of the salvation I now live in. I praise God that he has given me that substance and that evidence in me. In fact, if we go back to that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, I'll read the rest of that verse. So read the first part again. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You see, we can't really see God with our naked eye, but what we can see is what he's done. We have evidence. It has substance. We can actually feel his creation. We can see it. We can experience it. And then when we see him moving in our heart, we know it's consistent with his nature, and he's doing that good thing in us. You see, the evidence is everywhere in the world, and this is the world that he made. As we look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, we're going to read all the way through 27 before it's over. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. How can something that's invisible be clearly seen? Because of what it's saying here in Hebrews and understanding it from Genesis. You see, we can't see God, but we can see what God's done. Don't deny it, because if you deny it at that point, then we can't really be able to receive that faith, because that's the substance, that's the evidence that he's giving us. He goes on, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, being all of us, are without excuse. Continuing on, Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. You know, being unthankful is really a great sin. It can get us into all kinds of problems. In fact, we can miss the faith that he wants us to walk in if we just don't remember to be thankful. You see, they didn't glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, you know, oftentimes we just start at the therefore. We always need to start before the therefore so we know what the therefore is there for. And therefore is telling us if we are not thankful for what he's done, if we don't glorify him for the things he's already done in creating us and creating the world, then we put ourselves in a place where we miss it. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Do we see that happening in our world today? You know, in India, it's a highly populated area. There's so much poverty and even starvation, and they got cows walking everywhere. But you know, they worship those cows, so they can't eat them. God actually, I believe, gave them to us, and he gave us permission to eat them. And yet they won't, because they're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. You know what? It curses us when we do that. You know, they also worship rats. And so the little bit of grain that they have stored up in their bins, the rats eat because they won't kill the rats. Do we see Satan's work going on here? They're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. I'll say here in the United States, we might be kind of guilty of worshiping people. You know, we talk about the animists that kind of oftentimes they fall into worshiping ancestors and things. I think we're worse about it here in the United States. We worship pretty beautiful people, don't we? Man, if you can put on a good face and you can get up in front of everybody and maybe sing a good song or something, all of a sudden you become an idol. Guys, worship is reserved for God. If we worship anything but God, we are putting ourselves in a very bad place. We can't carry on in that faith. I saw a Pujols hit a home run in Busch Stadium. I didn't go to a lot of ball games, but I got to be there one night whenever we were losing in a playoff game, and it was do or die, and he walked up and knocked one out of the park with bases loaded. That place erupted in worship. It did. It made my hair stand up. I'd just become a Christian not too long before that, and I was like, oh my goodness, the energy in this place was unbelievable. And I'm not saying it was a horrible thing, but I thought, I wonder if we'd act like that if Jesus stepped out on that field down there. Or if somebody came out and wanted to praise Jesus, probably half the place would have walked out. Yeah, it was great when Pujols hit the home run. Man, it's even greater when Jesus saved us. That's something to cheer. That's something to celebrate. That's something to worship him for, amen? Just the creation itself is enough to worship him for. He's awesome. Look at the intricate ways that everything works together. How many little babies do we have in here? Such an incredible way that God brings people into this earth through their mother's womb, amen? Just the birth process alone is incredible. It just boggles my mind every time I think about it. Every one of us came into this world that way, by the way. God did a miracle there that, yeah, it happens every day, so don't really kind of make it into the miracle rule book, but I'm going to call it that anyways, because this dad and this preacher has been just absolutely, completely slain to see those newborn babies come into this world. It is so incredible. It is such an amazing thing. It just blows me away. And it just, you know, and to see them then begin to grow and to see that nurturing process whenever it's being done, you know, God's way. It's just a beautiful thing. And to see my children then turn into teenagers and they just become, you know, really young adults. Isn't that awesome to see that transformation? But I'll tell you, all of it pales in comparison to seeing a newborn babe in Christ. Man, to see one who's dead in their trespasses and sins, and they're going along by the rules of this world, trying to just make it one more day and have one more pleasing thing in their life, and it just is all so vain. And one day, God spawns something in their heart that causes them to be dissatisfied with that old life and to cry out to Him and say, Jesus, save me. Oh my goodness, a conviction over sin that weighs them down to the point they don't think they can even go anymore. And then Jesus lifts it off of them. And they are raised up to this newness of life to follow Christ. It is the most exciting thing that can ever happen. But I can tell you, that ain't the end. It's the beginning. Then by that faith that has this substance and this evidence, they go from faith to faith, the Bible says, like stepping stones of their growth. They're not allowed to skip one. You're not allowed to skip one, by the way. Whatever struggle you're in, whatever you're going through right now, God wants you to overcome. And once you do, and you're obedient, He'll show you the next step. It's an amazing process. And I've been in it long enough myself to see it's relentless. Even when I'm tired and I sit down and I say, God, I just can't take anymore, He gives me another step. And He says, come on, son, get up. We still got ground to cover. You know what? He's not gonna let us down. Your evidence box is getting more filled up. Your substance box is getting more real. Keep following, keep going, keep believing. And if you don't, this is where we end up right here in Romans chapter 1 area, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor the bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And he begins to worship. Amen. Say amen, church. Woo! This is one of those Pujols home run moments. Yeah! God is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to what? Vile passions. You see, if we reject that, we're rejecting our evidence and our substance of that faith. And then we begin to fall into vile passions. Oh, this is the sad part. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves penalty of that error which was due. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to apologize for those scriptures. And in Canada, I'm not allowed to read those scriptures because the government says that can't go onto the internet, and this sermon's going on the internet. And so you know what I say? If I lived in Canada, I'd read those scriptures anyways, because they're in God's word. And this tells us why we see the symptoms, so that we can find the cure. And you know what? The cure is there. The cure is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. When He becomes my Lord, then He becomes my boss. That's what that means, King. And He begins to tell me how to live instead of telling Him how I want to live. And you know, that is what solves the problems. The Bible is not hate speech. The Bible is truth speech. And as we read the Bible, we can see the evidence of God's faithfulness through all of the years of time. We can see that God really did have His, you know, He was the one who spoke everything into creation. There's no way you can have order from nothing. Order has to come from something, I would say someone, and it's from God. And He's the same one who wants to put order into your heart through Jesus. He wants to give you a reason for life that will never be extinguished. He wants to give you that reason to look forward to the next day, because we know that on the last day, it's going to end up being our best day, because then we're going to be in heaven with Him. But it's like Paul said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We can not only believe that just based on what other people have told us, we can believe it because of the substance and the evidence of the faith which he's given us. And you know what? When we look at the evidence of his creation, it's everywhere. How many of you guys have been enjoying this weather here lately? I love it. I'm just enjoying. And I guess I should enjoy the 110 degree days too. I try. But you know, whenever I walk out on one of these cool evenings and I look up at that harvest moon, it's like, thank you, God, that's your faithful witness in the sky that you put there, so I praise you whenever I see it. Let me be like that. You know, the question remains, even though that evidence is everywhere, will we accept it or suppress it? You only have two choices. Nothing in between. You either accept it or you're going to have to suppress it. That means push it down. Because the evidence is popping out all over the place. We've got a world that's suppressing it. Don't let the church suppress it. That's why I told you I'm not going to apologize for anything I read from the scripture. Because if I did, that would be the church suppressing the word of God and the truth. And I'm just not going to allow myself to do that. Because if I do that, then comes judgment, and it's going to come over us all. So let's be bold in believing God. Let's be bold in living out that faith, which is a gift from God that has substance and evidence. And I want you to respond to that faith today. What is that faith telling you to do? Your walk with Christ. I can tell you it's always going to square with Scripture. So if you're wondering, you know, what is God telling me? You can look in the Scripture and you'll be able to line it up somewhere in that book. But here's what we need to do more than anything. We need to obey it. We need to obey him. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Dear Father, I pray for this entire congregation. Whatever you have given them faith to step forward in their life, maybe to the front of the church to accept you as Lord and Savior, maybe to just repent of their sins. I don't think repentance is something we just do at salvation. Repentance is something that every time we realize we've sinned, we need to repent. So, Lord, I pray that whatever our faith in you is guiding us to you, let's look at the substance, let's look at the evidence. Let's see that there's overwhelming evidence everywhere we look. Just the fact we're in this church today is evidence of your working in our life. The fact this church exists, this congregation, is assembled here because of you. And so help us, Lord, to then, by that evidence, by that substance, take that next step into obedience. Whatever you're calling me to do, you're not going to leave me as an orphan to do it. You're going to do it with me. You're going to do it through me. And sometimes you literally just do it for me. There's times when I'm just too weak, but I cry out to you and you help me. You carry me to that next step. But either way, I'm not giving up. I can't. My faith has to be an enduring faith. And so help me, Lord. Help us to obey you on that next step. In Jesus' name, amen.